Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Closed Doors, Open Windows.
If you've been worshiping with us, you know that we are making our way through a study of the book of Acts. We come this morning to Acts chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. So let's listen together to this, the word of our Lord. Paul went on also to Derbe and to Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and had him circumcised because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on from town to town, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And I'd invite you to pray with me, please. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of the day and for the privilege of worship. We would pray now that your word might have helped to shape and inspire my words, and that my words now will help to shape and inspire, to encourage us as your people to follow after you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. I know we're all familiar with the saying, when God closes a door, he opens a window. It's not biblical. You won't find it in your Bibles. But it is biblical in thought. It reflects something of a biblical truth, a biblical worldview. It's consistent with our understanding that the God we worship is alive and active, engaged and involved in human affairs, including the affairs of our lives. That he is sovereign and in control when, and perhaps I'd say particularly, when we are not in control. That God is good and loving and faithful and trustworthy, even when life's circumstances seem to work against us, and even seem to work against what we perceive to be the good purposes of God. So this saying is consistent with a favorite verse of many of ours. In fact, one I've heard many cite during this time of pandemic, when so many of our plans have been interrupted or simply thrown out of the window, when there's kind of a veil of disappointment or discouragement that seems to hang over every conversation or certainly every commitment we make. When we feel kind of out of control over so much of what we thought we had control over. So the passage I'm referencing is Romans 8:28. It's familiar to many of us. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, which translated into everyday language might sound something like, when God closes a door, he opens a window. I think it will be interesting to see in years to come, as we look back on this pandemic experience, to see what we will have learned and how our lives will have been changed by it. What will we have learned about self-care during this time and about caring for the needs of our neighbors? What will we choose to take with us from this time of quarantine? Perhaps new habits, new disciplines, new routines or schedules, and what will we choose to leave behind? Like all that stuff we've cleaned out of our closets that we hadn't seen or touched for years. What will we look back on and see now from a different perspective of how God has been at work using these experiences to shape us, to form us, to change us. And then we pray, hopefully, for the better. And now, admittedly, some of the lessons we will have learned will have been difficult. But I'm also convinced that some of what we are learning, we will also look back on and be grateful for having been through these difficult experiences by a closed door that we now call COVID-19. About the turn of the 20th century, when cotton was king, the boll weevil crossed over into the United States from Mexico. It destroyed vast acres of southern acreage and the fortunes they held. Well, farmers were suddenly forced to diversify their crops, so they started adding soybeans and peanuts. They had to diversify and find ways now to use that same land to raise cattle or hogs or chickens. And as a result then, many more farmers became prosperous than in the days when the only crop was cotton. So grateful were the people of Enterprise, Alabama, for that particular closed door and then open window experience, that in 1910 they erected a monument to the boll weevil. The inscription reading, "In profound appreciation for the boll weevil and what it has done to herald prosperity." Each of us perhaps can look back on our own lives and see a boll weevil-like, a closed door-like experience, which we didn't see coming, which rocked our world and the plans we had made for ourselves. Perhaps it's a job we wanted that we didn't get, or we were unexpectedly terminated. We didn't get into the college of our choosing, or lost out on an opportunity that came to us too late or too soon. When he didn't say yes and she did say no, when disappointment or disease or even death came suddenly or unexpectedly, laying waste to all of the plans we had made for ourselves and our futures. I could go on, but each of us could tell in our own stories and call to mind an experience or a time when we had to determine through what lens am I going to interpret this particular event? Through the lens of the whole world's against me, even God, or through the lens of when God closes a door, he opens a window. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl reflects on his experiences as a prisoner in a concentration camp during World War II. The question he raised for himself and reflected on and eventually wrote on is, why did some endure this intolerance and others simply give up? He writes, and I quote, "Everything can be taken from a person but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." In many ways, the same is being asked of you and me today as we're faced with the closed doors in our lives. Do we fold our tents and go home, or do we start looking around for open windows? Our passage from Acts this morning comes right off of our lesson from last week about the great showdown at the Council of Jerusalem when the decision was made as to whether Gentiles had to become Jews before they could become Christians. Recall, after no small dissension and debate, it was decided that a Gentile believer did not have to follow the Jewish laws, including circumcision, with a few exceptions. And with that decision, the evangelists of the day, so Peter, Paul, Barnabas, and others, hit the road to share the gospel message with Jew and Gentile alike. Now, so recall as we left our lesson last week, Paul and Barnabas, good friends, traveling companions, decide to part company. Barnabas takes off with John Mark. They leave for Cyprus. While Paul decides to do a reunion tour. He decides to go back and revisit all the churches that he had founded before. This is all primarily in modern-day Turkey. This time, he decides to take with him Silas. And along the way, they invite a young man named Timothy to join him. The addition of Timothy gives us a good insight into Paul, into his character, into his purpose. What Paul's doing is really setting up his own succession plan. Someone not only to take John Mark's place, but one who could and would continue the ministry after him. And Timothy is really the perfect candidate here. He's a young man. We know he is well respected by those in his community. He's the son of a Jewish believing mother and a Gentile father, which makes him understand or be able to understand and then to be able to bridge the gap between these two populations they hope to reach, Jew and Gentile alike. Later, Paul will go on to write of Timothy, referring to him as his beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will say that there is no one like him who shares my mind and my concern. So the door which closed with Barnabas and John Mark became an open window with Silas and Timothy. So all was going well in their travels. They found the churches doing well, the gospel was being preached, churches were growing in numbers. And then we read they hit a roadblock. We read they went through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Seemingly undeterred, we read, when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now, we don't know the geography of this land like Luke did, and that doesn't matter. What we do know here is that they continued to find closed doors. They went from east to west, from west to north. Some would suggest they traveled up to 2,000 miles during this time, and at every turn they were blocked, they were hindered by the Holy Spirit. Seemingly, God himself was closing the doors to them. So what's happening here? Paul and his companions were being faithful to the calling they'd been given. They were trusting that God was leading them. Surely we can assume that they had prayed about where they were to go and what they were to do. So why closed doors? We too have prayed prayers, haven't we? Asking God to bless the plans that we have made for ourselves. Okay, God, I've got it all worked out. All I need you to do is put your stamp of approval on it. And then when our plans don't work out, we wonder why God doesn't always agree with my plan for my life. And how did they know that it was the Holy Spirit who was doing the closing of the doors and redirecting them? Did Paul hear a voice like he did on the road to Damascus? Was it that the message or was being rejected by the people or the authorities in the communities they were going to? Were they just working off of the gut feeling? And we've had this as well. I just don't have a good feeling about this place. Let's move on. We don't know the answer to any of those questions, but we too have experienced such closed doors. So the question is, how do we think about those? Do we look to see God's hand in them? In part, our response may be how we view opportunities which come our way. Do we see them as being coming from God or something of our own making and doing? The ancient Romans painted the picture of opportunity as a beautiful woman with long braided hair in the front and a shaved bald head in the back. If you met her as she was coming towards you, you could grab onto her locks and hold on. But once she had passed you, there was no way to catch her, gone forever. Well, we too, perhaps, look at missed opportunities in much the same way. Gone forever. Shakespeare's Brutus urges us to not lose life's adventures and be left in the shallows. Some of us will recall him saying, "There is a tide in the affairs of men which, when taken at the flood, leads them to fortune. Omitted, All the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and miseries. On such a full sea, we are now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. Speaking of that same kind of remorse over lost opportunity, Alexander Graham Bell once wrote, "When one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one that has opened to us." In those situations, we often find ourselves asking, "So what if?" Or "if only." "Oh, if only I had." Or "if only I hadn't." Or "what if I had?" Or "what if I hadn't?" And those kinds of questions lead us invariably not to answers, but to frustration and futility. Well, this is exactly the situation that Paul, and now his traveling companions, and we'll note there's a "we" inclusion. Luke has now joined Paul and his companions in this part of the journey. They found all the doors had closed to them, and so they ventured on to Troas, a small city on the coast of the Aegean, literally the end of the line. And it was there that their extremity became God's opportunity for them. When Paul had a vision, there stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Macedonia, really? The gospel had never been preached there before. Macedonia was in Europe. The gospel had only been preached in Asia. Could it be that they would hear and believe this good news about Jesus over there, even though they had never heard of him before? Macedonia was the land of Alexander, called the Great, and his father Philip, both of whom had designs to conquer the world, for the East to meet the West, whereas Paul's vision was to conquer the world for Christ. Had their closed doors suddenly become an open window? In one of his early songs, country music superstar Garth Brooks tells of running into his old high school flame at a Friday night football game. Some of you will remember this song. He quickly realized that she wasn't quite the angel he remembered in his dreams, and that he wasn't all that she seemed to remember of him, so it seemed. Then the chorus of the song begins, and we could probably sing it together. "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Let me close with one other story. This one was suggested to me by Glenn McDonald. It's the story of a young man and his mother, Monica, and her prayers for him. As Monica saw the sails vanish over the horizon, her heart sank. If God had answered her prayers, that boat never would have left its moorings in North Africa 340 years after Christ and headed for Italy. Her son, Augustine, was aboard, and she was certain he was headed for disaster. Augustine was brilliant, but he was also rebellious and self-assured. His immorality had repeatedly driven Monica to her knees as she begged him to turn to God, but he rebuffed her at every turn. Ultimately, he decided to set sail towards greater adventures in Italy, and Monica prayed through the night, pleading with God to block his leaving. "Please let him stay in Africa," she prayed, "so that one day he might find and serve you." And all she heard was silence. But God knew best. In Italy, the future Saint Augustine came under the influence of Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, who mentored him into the spiritual life that would ultimately bless and transform all of Christian history. Later in his life, he would reflect in his writings on his mother's sincere prayer that night and all those that had preceded it. He was grateful that God had chosen not to answer her prayers. Perhaps God was on to something, or Garth was on to something. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Having been blocked by the Spirit from going to nearly every other region of their choosing and finding themselves at the dead-end port of Troas, they heard the invitation from a man from Macedonia to come and help us, and so they set sail, first landing on the island of Samothrace, and then on to the mainland, to Neapolis, and the rest, as they say, is history. Following the wind of the Spirit, all of those closed doors suddenly became open windows. From Neapolis, they went up to Philippi, where they met a woman named Lydia. She heard the gospel, and she and her household were receiving of the gospel and were baptized in Europe, of all places. From Philippi, they went on to places like Thessaloniki and Athens and Corinth and Ephesus, eventually spreading the gospel throughout the Greco-Roman world to Great Britain, eventually to the United States. The gospel message being passed from parent to child, from neighbor to friend, from generation to generation for centuries until it came to your hearing and mine, all because God closed a door and opened another window, and the work of the Spirit goes on. And this, to this, for this, we say thanks be to God. And let us pray. Lord, give us eyes of faith to trust you even when we do not see you, and hearts of faith to follow where you lead us even when we do not know the where of your going. Give us the confidence of faith to trust that you are at work in our lives even as you are in the world, and grant us the privilege to be useful in your grand purposes. All to your honor and glory we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer.